Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Arca Continental conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn it over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining the senior management team of Arca Continental to review the results for the third quarter and 9 months of 2016. We sent the earnings release this morning. The long versions are available on the website, as usual. ArcaContal.com is where you can find them. And this call is being transmitted via webcast. It's my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterrey are Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Gutierrez, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Emilio Marcos, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manuel Gutierrez, Director of Corporate Planning, as well as the Investor Relations team. And at this time, it's my pleasure to turn the call over for the opening remarks to our CEO, Francisco Garza Egloff, for his comments. So, Pancho, please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie. And good morning, everyone. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. First, let me start with the news we shared today related to Topo Chico, our iconic mineral water brand. We are excited to inform that we have completed the transfer of the rights of the Topo Chico brand in Mexico to the Coca-Cola company. This is clearly an important step to make Topo Chico a national brand in Mexico. Topo Chico will lead the continued expansion of the growing mineral water category in combination with CL mineral water. We are honored that the Coca-Cola company recognized the strength and expansion potential of this legendary brand, with a history spanning more than 120 years, and will continue to be bottler in our plant right from the source, maintaining its unique characteristics. The scope of this agreement allows Arca Continental to expand distribution of the Topo Chico product portfolio to all our territories in Mexico, which will lead us to an important incremental sales volume in this very profitable category. On the other hand, let me give you a brief update on our important and strategic initiative to enter the U.S. Southwest market as part of the Coca-Cola Company's plan to refranchise North American territories by the end of 2017. We have dedicated stern teams of senior leaders from the Coca-Cola Company and Arca Continental on both the transaction process and in the transition process. We continue working hand-in-hand on all aspects of the integrations, following a comprehensive plan developed jointly with Coca-Cola, with clear responsibilities and milestones in order to complete the integration in the first half of 2017. We have also been working closely with the excellent management team who currently operates these territories to ensure a smooth transition, and in principle, we already identify key areas where we can make significant contribution for further market development in the short and the midterm, as well as some opportunities for cost optimization and synergies. As some of you may be aware, we recently reached an agreement with our friends of Coca-Cola Bottling United to now continue with our joint venture in this transaction. Since both parties concluded, it will be in our best interest to focus on our respective projects. I want to thank the great team of United for working together with us during these past several months, sharing best practices and their experience onboarding new territories. We have built a strong relationship with them over the years that will continue benefiting both of us as neighboring bottlers to continue developing a much more stronger everyday of Coca-Cola system in North America. The next topic I want to discuss is a very important milestone in our 90-year history as pioneers of the Coca-Cola system in Mexico. I am pleased to report that we reached a new comprehensive and long-term agreement with the Coca-Cola company regarding concentrate prices in Mexico for carbonated soft drinks and other aspects of our relationship. The term of the new agreement is 10 years beginning July 1, 2017, with the option for AC to extend it another 10 years. Concentrate prices will gradually increase in the first 3 years, and we estimate an incremental annual cost in Mexico on annualized basis to be approximately $7 million for 2017, $15 million more in 2018, and an additional $17 million in 2019. The gradual increase will allow us to offset it through higher volume, RGM strategies, and productivity improvements. The new agreement will provide clear visibility of this important aspect for the future and will allow us to strengthen even more our mutually beneficial business partnership so we can focus on consolidating our recent and upcoming investments in a new, very important franchise already underway, as well as to continue innovating and developing the market for a profitable and sustainable growth of both companies. Before I turn to my discussion of our operating results, let me share with you a new national program in Mexico where we are very proud to be one of the founders. The program is called Movimiento para una Vida Saludable, or MOVISA, which stands for Moving for a Healthy Lifestyle. MOVISA was developed by the private sector with the support and commitment in the Ministry of Health, and is comprised at this time of 60 participants. In the future, there will be much more. Those participants are from the top companies, universities, organizations, and think tanks in Mexico to promote healthy habits for all our citizens through education on proper nutrition, higher activity levels, and preventive health care. Our participation in this endeavor is one of the many ways in which we are actively contributing in a proactive way to establish integral solutions to overcome the overweight and obesity challenge in our country. Turning now to our performance, I am pleased to report that despite the challenging, volatile business environment, our company delivered yet another quarter of solid results. Consolidated revenues in the third quarter reached 24.4 billion pesos, up 18%, while total consolidated volume grew 13.4% to reach 450 million unit cases. Our market position is very strong, gaining volume and value share across all territories and categories in which we participate. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter rose 13.4%, reaching 5.3 billion pesos, representing a margin of 21.8%. Notably, this was the 22nd consecutive quarter of EBITDA growth since the merger of Arca Continental. We have taken several bold actions to optimize our cost structure by vertically integrated in key raw materials as sugar. Back in April, we acquired key sugar production assets in Argentina. We closed this deal prior to the recent price increases in such raw materials, and we will start to see its positive effects in the next year result. These assets, combined with our strategic sugar suppliers in that region, will give us a solid competitive position. Also, in Mexico, we follow the same integration strategy. Last December, Piazza acquired the plant de San Luis sugar mill. You know, Piazza is the company that has all the sugar mills in which we have about half of of the ownership of that company. So just very recently, we acquired through Piazza the plant, the San Luis Sugar Mill, increasing production capacity by 30% and yielding significant synergies. And all of this has been done before the such very huge price increases of sugar, so now we have the benefits of that or minimizing the challenge of that. Moving on to Peru, among other synergies that Arturo will mention later, we are capturing the benefits of our larger scale as Arca Continental by leveraging our relationship with major suppliers of key inputs. In this case, Pet Photos and Preforms. In this regard, I am pleased to report that we recently signed a long-term agreement with the country's leading pet producers in Peru, San Miguel Industrias, which is a strong partner to support our growth in the region, extending the same benefits from the new contract to our operations in Ecuador. The combined savings in these contracts, including efficiencies, lightweighting, and other aspects, will be around $13 million per year, which will be captured pretty soon. The resilience and consistency of our business model has enabled us to weather well what has proven to be an increasingly challenging environment. I will now turn the call over to Arturo to discuss more details in our operations in each of our business units. Please, Arturo.
Thanks, Pancho, and good morning, everyone. I will further expand on the results across our geographies and operations, beginning with North America. We continue driving steady momentum in Mexico. Volume in the third quarter grew 7.5%, excluding jugs, after a strong 6.8% increase in last year's third quarter volume. Growth was supported by all categories, sparkling with 7.3%, stills 12.1%, and 6.8% in water. Total net revenues in North America rose 12.3% in the quarter to reach 15.7 billion pesos. Average price in our beverage business in Mexico, not including jug water, rose 5%, reaching 51.76 pesos per unit case, sustained by our disciplined segmentation, revenue management, and affordability strategies. EBITDA in North America increased 6.7% to 3.8 billion pesos in the third quarter, representing a margin of 24%. Our vending machine business continued its growth momentum in the third quarter. The beverage vending machine segment posted high single-digit volume growth, and our snacks unit delivered mid-single-digit growth in transactions. Exports of Topo Chico mineral water rose 32% in the third quarter, confirming its market leadership position as the number one imported mineral water brand in convenience and grocery stores across the Southwest U.S. market. During this quarter, several commercial activities were launched to reinforce our portfolio. After its success around the world, the Share a Coke campaign, which helped fuel revenue and volume growth in Mexico in 2014, made its return with more names, more packages, and more ways to share. Consumers were able to personalize and digitally share images and order customized special Coca-Cola products through our direct-to-home service. Also in the quarter, we launched Monster Energy drinks in Mexico. We will fully leverage all our distribution and execution capabilities at the point of sale to capture additional share in the fast-growing energy drink sector. We remain optimistic about the outlook for Mexico, our most important market. We are confident that we can continue to grow steadily and profitably while at the same time capturing additional value share across all beverage categories. Let's now switch to our snacks operation. Bocados once again delivered solid results, posting high single-digit sales growth in the quarter while increasing market share as a result of a refined execution at the point of sale and an aggressive plan to expand market presence and product coverage. To date, we have captured over 18,000 new customers. We are rapidly advancing on the new commercial relationship with Galletas Donde, announced last quarter. We now have more than 100 additional routes in 14 distribution centers across the southern Mexico region. We are leveraging these new capabilities while moving toward our goal to become a national brand in Mexico in the next few years. The Wise snacks business in the U.S. posted a low single-digit revenue decline as a result of contraction in private label sales and in the dollar value channel. Despite the complex business environment, Wise delivered strong performance in key categories. The popcorn category continued its success by posting a volume increase of 4.4%, driven by the new sea salt and cinnamon product launches, plus the packaging refresh, which is having a positive effect on legacy flavors like hot cheese. Wise continued its efforts to drive innovation in the potato chip category by focusing on its food truck favorites program and the new Mediterranean kettle-inspired flavors. Inalecsa in Ecuador posted single-digit revenue decline as the Ecuadorian economy continues to struggle. In July, economic activity plummeted and recorded the largest contraction in over 10 years. Despite these headwinds, Inalecsa continued leveraging its strong brand equity and product innovation. We recently launched Maní Bocados, allowing us to expand our product portfolio in the highly profitable peanut category. Now moving on to South America, total revenue rose 30% in the third quarter, reaching 8.7 billion pesos. EBITDA in region increased 33.1% to 1.6 billion pesos, representing a margin of 18%, an expansion of 40 basis points. In Argentina, volume in the third quarter declined 8.5%, improving sequentially from the second quarter when the decline was 15.7%. Despite the challenging environment, we continued gaining both volume and value share across all our beverage categories. We capitalized on our strong product portfolio and selective pricing initiatives to drive affordability and mitigate the impact of inflation. Moving on to Ecuador, volume was down 13.5% in the second quarter. We are facing the full impact of the new tax that was imposed on sugar beverages and the effect of contraction in private consumption resulting from severe austerity measures. As we did in Argentina, we put in place a disciplined cost optimization plan. In addition, we are actively working with Coca-Cola to reformulate certain products. And we are also expanding our portfolio of beverages focusing on affordability and packaging innovation. Now let me finish our operations review with Peru. Volume for the quarter decreased 2.5% due to a deceleration in the consumer goods industry affected by weak formal job creation coupled with lower temperatures as compared with the previous year. We launched a master brand plan behind Coca-Cola and Inca-Cola brands to promote choice to consumers, accompanied by strong media investments and high-quality campaigns, as well as samplings and availability of non-calorie products. We continued rolling out our Siglo XXI program in the traditional channel, reaching 25% growth in customers activated. We're also accelerating initiatives to expand our cooler coverage. In the quarter, we installed more than 6,300 coolers to reach close to 20,000 units year to date. Moving over to our synergy plan, I'm glad to report that we are well on track to achieve our target of $25 million in annual synergies by the end of this year. As you recall, we identified several value creation opportunities in key areas, such as PET packaging. I would like to highlight the long-term agreement that we have reached with San Miguel Industrial, a leading provider of PET products in South America. San Miguel will apply state-of-the-art technology to blowing and lightweighting of PET bottles, yielding significant process efficiencies and overall cost savings for our operations in Peru and Ecuador. And now I will turn the call to Emilio to provide you with more details on our financial results.
Thank you, Arturo, and good morning, everyone. The geographical diversification that we have accomplished over the years and our discipline in execution, combined with a proven revenue growth strategy, have enabled us to post another very solid financial performance for the quarter. We remain committed to creating value for our shareholders by delivering robust top-line growth and cash flow generation. Thanks to our leading operating capabilities that has helped us mitigate the market's volatility. Consolidated revenues grew 18% in the third quarter and 27.3% for the 9 months of the year. As a result of Peru integration, an excellent top-line result in Mexico, higher dollar-based sales, and a negative impact by the devaluation of the Argentinian peso. Comparable currency neutral and excluding Peru, net revenues increased 9.4% in the quarter and 11.2% on a cumulative basis. Net sales, specifically for the North America division, grew 12.3% in the quarter, with South America up 30%. Year-to-date, revenues in North America and South America grew up 14.2% and 57.3% respectively, thanks to effective market investments and revenue growth management initiatives in every country where we operate. On the cost line, better volume results, higher sugar prices, and the effect of a stronger U.S. dollar drove cost of goods sold up 21.6% in the quarter and 31.2% on a year-to-date basis. SG&A expenses as a percentage of sales was 30.8% in both the quarter and year-to-date, pretty much in line year-over-year. We're targeting market investments in the South America operations that will maintain our market share leadership in order to maximize profitability. In the third quarter, operating income increased 44.1% for a margin of 21.6%. This strong increase is mainly due to non-recurring items, which include severance payments and the income for the Topo Chico transaction brand in Mexico with the Coca-Cola company. It is important to clarify that as non-recurring income, there is no effect on the EBITDA line. As of September, operating income was up 32.8% with an operating margin of 18.1%. Consolidated EBITDA increased 13.4% to 5.3 million pesos, billion pesos to reach a 21.8 margin. Year-to-date, EBITDA rose to 15 billion pesos, reflecting a margin of 21.7%. Comparable currency neutral and excluding Peru, EBITDA increased 7.2% in the quarter and 10.2% year-to-date. Income tax provision for the quarter was 1.4 billion pesos compared to 1.1 billion pesos in the same period of last year. For the first 9 months of the year, this line reached 3.2 billion, an increase of 18.8%. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 30.2% as well as for the first 9 months of the year. The comprehensive cost of financing during the quarter was up 34%, mainly from the aggregated debt expenses from Peru and a stronger dollar quarter to quarter. Net income increased 54.7% to 3.2 billion pesos in the quarter, representing a margin of 13.2%. Part of the increase is explained by the effect of Topo Chico deal. Year-to-date, net income increased 27% to 7.1 billion pesos, reflecting a margin of 10.3%. As of September 30, 2016, we had a cash position of 8.2 billion pesos and debt of 33.6 billion pesos, meaning a 1.29 times net debt to EBITDA coverage ratio, clearly on the right path to reach our goal of 1.1 times by the end of this year. We generated cash flow of 13.4 billion pesos in the first 9 months of the year, used for capex, debt payments, dividends, and organic growth strategy. Our capex investments as of September were 5.1 billion pesos, which went toward improving our capabilities in the marketplace, increasing cooler coverage and returnable bottle base, as well as to production and distribution strengthening. We will continue capitalizing on our leadership and experience in the market to maintain a strong top-line growth in Mexico, to partially offset the pressure from sugar prices and exchange rate headwinds. In South America, despite the challenging macroeconomic conditions, we have been able to enhance the profitability as a result of an adequate efficiency plan and solid price pack initiatives. For the rest of the year, we're working on precise strategies for each country in order to maintain the good financial trend as of today. And with that, I will turn it back to Pancho.
All right. Thank you, Emilio. Let me close by saying that the strong foundation that Arca Continental has built over the years, with pillars such as a diverse product portfolio, an expanded regional and logical footprint, outstanding customer and consumer service, and ambitious synergy and productivity programs, coupled with a world-class workforce, have all helped us evolve into a highly competitive and dynamic organization that will continue delivering sustained profitable growth in years to come. Thank you so much for your attention and support. I will now ask the operator to open the line for your questions. Please, operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by dialing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Lauren Torres with UBS.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone. My question is on the margin pressure that we're seeing in Mexico. How are you thinking about that as we finish out the year and going into next year? We've heard about higher sweetener prices. Obviously, the weaker peso is impacting you there. And now we're hearing about the concentrate price increase. So I guess more so looking into next year, what are the offsets? How do you feel about, reclaiming some of that lost margin? I know some of this is out of your control, but as far as what you can control, how should we expect next year to look on that front? Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lori. You are very kind, and it's always good to talk with you. Basically, as I have been mentioned to you during my introduction, first of all, we are managing very well the RGM, and probably Arturo can expand on this. But one important point is that the effect of the first year on concentrate prices in Mexico, it will be just 7.5 or probably less than that. In the first year, $7.5 million. So in that regard, that will not be any major complication in that regard, because we can manage it to productivity and RGM and so on. On the other hand, regarding sugar prices, well, as I mentioned also in my introduction, we have acquired a new plant for sugar mill, which is the Plan de San Luis, and we are expanding that production. That will enhance our competitive, integration in that regard, and will diminish the impact in respect of that raw material. No? And talking about the exchange rate, so obviously we cannot have any forecast at this time. It's complicated to say, but we think that we've been undervalued as a country, in terms of exchange rate. So we think that it will stay stable or probably better than in the last months, and that will also help us. I'm talking about the Mexico. But whatever happened in the exchange rate, we are normally at this time even. It means that the effects are compensated in general. But you can imagine that next year having the U.S. operation definitely will be very helpful to offset or compensate any challenge in that regard. So, in my view, are very manageable. We don't perceive anything really complicated with the challenges we see now on raw materials and exchange rate, and even in the concentrate price. So, Arturo, can you expand a little bit more on what we are doing in RGM?
Sure. Probably what I could add is that certainly our revenue management capabilities have been enhanced, and we still have opportunities to continue to increase prices above inflation, which would be our target. It was not in the past, as you know, in other years. This year, we've been able to do that. We are confident that we will continue to do that. And it's not only revenue management. It's other capabilities that will continue to be rolled out. And we have only obtained, you know, partially the benefits of the ACT model, which we are expanding to South America. But even in Mexico, our new commercial platform, our, you know, dynamic segmentation model, those continue to roll out. So we are confident that we can take advantage of that. The other thing that is worth mentioning is that we continue to identify opportunities for savings and efficiency. This has become part of the culture of our operation. And we have a program that is already being planned for next year to identify, you know, additional efficiencies that we can, you know, implement and take the benefit from that as well.
So bottom line, I can tell you that there is no, we don't see any major issue at this time. Can you add something, Emilio? Or?
Sure. There's basically three things. The exchange rate this quarter was really, really high. It was around 19%. So 19 pesos, sorry. So we really hope that next year will be a better exchange rate. So so that's really an impact on this quarter. The second one is that, as you know, high fructose prices, we have fixed hedge already for next year at the same level of this year. And the third one is the sugar prices. We had the last increase this quarter. So basically the sugar prices, average cost this quarter will be, very similar to next year. It's going to be just a small increase next year. That's what we expect.
Yes.
So this quarter is the bigger hit.
Yes, and we have the integration also, as I mentioned. So, I mean, we need to take care of the mix and prices and so on, but for sure, very manageable. And again, concentrate prices, and it's just 7 million. Let's move. I mean, do you have any other questions?
Actually, if I could just do a quick follow-up then on the concentrate. I don't know if I heard correctly. Did you say it was 7 in the first year plus another 15 plus another 17? And then I guess in your release you mentioned that it depends on your overall performance going forward. Is there any
right
clarity on what that
yeah,
that
7 or 7.5 in the first, let's say, the first year. That's right. I mean, because it's half of the year, right? And then the second one is, as I mentioned, the 15 and then the 17. So total in the second year will be the level of 22 total, you know? Because you need to add, let's say, the first half of the year will be 7 million and the second half will be 15 million. So, in other words, it all depends really how you measure that. But bottom line is about $7 million the first year and about the total 22 in the second year. So the delta is the 15 million already mentioned. So, okay. Please, can we continue? And thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citi.
Thanks, and hi, everybody. The question in Mexico and then Peru, when I think about, you know, the volume growth that you came with here in Mexico, the 6%, you know, clearly there's a decelerating trend generally within the Mexico consumer environment, and a 6% number seems reasonable. I was a little bit kind of intrigued about the slowdown on the jug volume and slowdown, frankly, to being flat in the quarter. I'm wondering if you could kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, you've had some very heady growth over the last quarters in that chunk of the volume, which is a sizable piece of your Mexico volume. What was the kind of the factors that were I guess, impacting that? Was it channel? Was it demand? So that's the first question on Mexico. The second one is on Peru, and I'm, you know, kind of been looking at that top line trend in Peru in terms of volumes. What is the kind of expectations you can tell us about when we could get growth on the volumes in Peru? You know, the margins have been doing fine and expanding. I guess this third quarter we calculated about 90 bips of margin expansion year on year in Peru. But just kind of curious as to how you're thinking about that top line in Peru, if we can get back and when to growth. And frankly, an accounting clarification. The 1.1 billion pesos in the press release of a non-recurring expense, is it fair to say that the proceeds from the Topo Chico rights is in fact more than that? So any color about that clarification? Thanks again for the...
Thanks, thanks, Alex. Many, many questions. It's good to talk with you always. Hope to see you soon, eh? So just talking with you, Alex, regarding this... First, the last part, which is the one, more than 1 billion there, is really related to the Topo Chico operation, the transaction.
Okay. But it also includes certain payments, so...
it's a net effect.
You figured that out.
So, in fact, it was...
We're not disclosing the amount of the transaction, but yes, that line includes the Topo Chico and... insurance payments and other non-recurring expenses, which is the net of both.
Right. Mm-hmm. And let me just go to the next question related to the jug water. Can you add something to that, Arturo?
Yes. In Mexico? Well, Alex, the general environment in Mexico, as you know, has been very favorable. And although we've grown at a lower rate recently, it's funny that we would be complaining about a 6%, but we still, you know, very much in pace to a very good year, historic year in Mexico. And most importantly, we're growing faster than the system. So in the case of jugs, we have seen that deceleration, certainly. We are confident that we are still growing more than the industry. We are the leading brand. We have a share market that's close to 40%. And we increased our prices in the quarter, which is also relevant. It's important to understand the volume that we're cycling from the previous quarter. So that was a challenging comp that we had this quarter. So that would be the main reason. We maintain our strategies. Basically, the sales force automation would be the most important thing that we're doing in jugs, and that will give us. Additional growth as we go forward, and the leveraging the direct-to-home routes. If you break it up by channel, where we have the biggest challenge where we didn't grow as much was in the at home. So that is where we have the opportunity as well, both with automation and leveraging our you know whole portfolio routes for beverages in the direct-to-home. So that would be the situation for Jess. If we move down to
Peru, I think is to talk about Peru, the top line, Frank, Arturo. So the issue with Peru is that we have had, let's say, certainly at the beginning, very good quarters, but, you know, also the economy for the time being and this transition of the new president and so on, it's really... facing a slowdown, so all categories, not only the beverages are having this slowdown process because the government, a new government, needs to take over, and it's in that process and start spending money and so on. But I mean, everybody is feeling very pleased with the new president and the authorities that are now there moving the economy in Peru. So for everybody thinks that this economy will start moving much better very soon. If you see the numbers of the general economy of that country, I mean, mining and that kind of numbers can give you that it's growing, but the consumption is not growing for the time being, because I think it's a process of spending money from the new government. It's a transition process, but it's a great government, great authorities, new people coming, and I'm sure that everybody trusts that the money and investment will start flowing for a much better economy through the end of the year or beginning next year. So it's just a temporary situation. We don't see anything wrong in that regard. On the market share and our position there, it's really well done. So I don't see any major complication in that regard. Can you add something else here?
Well, yes. Just to add, maybe repeat, certainly the government is adopting responsible policies to maintain the fiscal deficit within range that they established. They have announced reduction in public spending for, you know, the fourth quarter and the remainder of the year. And this is certainly affecting internal demand. And the spending, especially in consumer goods, has been decelerating by weak formal job creation, and this particularly in the city of Lima. But as Pancho said, the optimism levels are very high, and we expect a very good 2017. On our side, we have been implementing many of the initiatives that we've identified as a synergy plan for our operation, and they are, you know, being reflected in the margins. And many of those things, the important thing is they will continue. Some will carry over to 2017, and some others will be implemented effective next year, both in the top line and in terms of savings for the overall company.
So yeah, we can also add that it's really more hard comps, and weather is not been as last year. However, we are doing many things in terms of, as Arturo mentioned, actions in the market to assure that we really strengthen our position every day more and more. And additional to that, the general economy for sure will start improving somehow beginning next year at latest. And everybody's optimistic, and it's a great timing for Peruvian investments.
Got it.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Okay. Thank you. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luca Sibicia with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I wanted to ask something about the U.S. in light of these changes with United, and also the fact that you've been probably advancing in your work in that market and in this transition. I'm fully aware that we will probably get numbers and details and guidance and synergies and so on only later next year. But I was hoping you could share some earlier feedback on what you're seeing in terms of opportunities, maybe what has surprised you so far, why losing, you know, the help or the support of someone who already operates in that region would be sort of neutral, or in any case you're confident you can do it on your own. And secondly, also an update more specifically on the timeline for what you can share in terms of integration guidance. When should we expect you to start talking about Texas and the other territories in a more detailed terms? That would be great.
Well, thank you, Luca. I appreciate this question. And as I mentioned, and I announced it, we announced it before, it was just a business decision. I mean, to focus each one in our respective projects, you know, and all resources required for these opportunities are very demanding. So we are in a very good, let's say, relationship with our friends of United. In fact, they are still helping us in some areas there. We just had a meeting, the day before yesterday in Dallas, and the CEO, who's a very close friend of ours, as well as part of his team, has been there, and we discussed in front of all the team of the Southwest operations and Coca-Cola, as well as in front of Coca-Cola, and clear up all questions to the top management and people there. And it was just a very clear process in that regard. and we will continue working. And we are, I can tell you that in this visit, we established several, in Dallas, and we established several actions in the next coming weeks to visit some territories of United, in which they are developing new techniques and so on. So the exchange of best practices and which has been done since many years, part of our lives with them, because we have a strong relationship with them, will remain, and that is very important. So I will not call it losing support. I mean, you mentioned to that in that regard. I mean, first of all, it's not a matter of losing. I mean, that's very important to mention, because we have a very strong relationship to keep a dialogue and learning process each other. And to be clear, it's not losing anything. No, it's a business decision. Don't put it in another way. And on the other hand, as we mentioned before, we've been operating in Dallas through many years in Topo Chico, Mineral Water. Obviously, it's small business, but we have people there, and the organization of the Southwest Territories is really very good people, management, and very well prepared team. So in that regard, I mean, it's a matter that with this process of transition and a smooth transition that we are now planning, there will be no any impact in terms of the timing that we have for accomplish this goal in a great manner. And so we have, you know, Texas is our it's our neighboring area. It's a huge territory, but we probably know more about Texas than Mexican roads, by the way, highways. We have, so in that regard, I mean, it's nothing, let's say that you must be complicated we must be complicated in terms of customers. It's a different market, and we recognize and we appreciate that. We know most of the customers there. HEB, by the way, as you know, great customer, as well as the other ones, but HEB probably has most of the stores that they have in Mexico are, if not all, in our territories in Mexico, you know. So we have had a lot of relationship with the head of that company in San Antonio and so on. And they are in very important, let's say, key accounts there in Texas. So generally speaking, we are well acquainted with that part of U.S. in all kind of terms, and we have good people, but more importantly, we have the support of Coca-Cola and the people that is working, the team that is managing and leading this important territory in the U.S. And we have, obviously, our pillars and also teams to join efforts to have a much better and strong, let's say, contribution for reinforcing really the market in that area and become a strong partner in the North American system to continue reinforcing that together with our friends of other bottlers, including our neighbors, these friends unite. So there is no any major disturbance, and we are moving ahead, fully committed, and we expect to finish on time, and it will be a great opportunity for everyone. Among other ones, well, Topo Chico could be a very good one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And just to clarify on timing, so you think second half of next year is really when the impact is going to be visible, and when will you think you'll be able to talk about this in more, let's say, numerical or strategic terms, in terms of integration targets, margin expansion opportunity, and this type of metrics?
Please, sir.
Yes, the timing is, as you said, for maybe second quarter next year. We have our transition planning is going very well. We've assembled a large team that is working on the transition and the opportunities going forward, and we are collaborating very effectively. It's a, you know, it's like a three-party system, a system of the future, which is the Coca-Cola company, it's us, and Southwest, the operation, and we're leveraging on System of the Future's experience on transitions and identifying all the tasks that need to be accomplished. It's hundreds of tasks from here to the closing. And we have the tools for tracking progress, for coordinating. We made a lot of progress up to now, mostly on transitional issues, IT decisions, creating a new entity, having a new logo. We've established routines and a work plan for every functional team. So we're on track to finish as planned and have an effective transition in the second quarter of 2017. Before that, we would be identifying, value creation opportunities once we have, the complete information about the operation, which is a very good operation, by the way, with many similarities, as Pancho said, and we're going to combine our capabilities to have a better operation in the Southwest. And so probably early next year we'll be prepared to identify those opportunities.
For sure.
Very clear. Thank you. Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Hi, Pancho and team. Thank you so much for taking my question. First, I just had a quick follow-up on the previous question. I understand, obviously, that many of the details are going to be disclosed only later, but just with respect to the structure in the U.S., I wanted to make sure there was a territory portion of Oklahoma that was supposed to be contributed by United. Now that United will no longer be part of the JV, is this specific territory out of the franchise territory that you'll be operating, A, and B, also there was a cash injection of about $100 million that was announced at the time of the first announcement. Is this a cash injection that was going to be invested inside the system and now it's going to be contributed between ARCA and KO? I just wanted to clarify if you can talk about that those two specific points, and then I have a quick follow-up question on Ecuador, if I may.
Okay, well, thanks, Antonio. Good to talk with you. And just, you mentioned very clearly that, Great Plains was part of the arrangement of Coca-Cola with United, of course, for the contribution of United to that potential JV in the Southwest. So as long as this JV is not going to continue, as we already announced, then the Coca-Cola keeps with them the Great Plains territory. And they will have to decide what to do in the near future. Certainly, it could sound very interesting for us, no? But it has not been part of our deal with Coca-Cola. It was a deal with United. So they keep it at this time with them, and they will have to decide. It's very logical, of course, to do something, but we respect what they will have to do. And it's really, I want to say that good team, good people there. We had the chance to meet them. They are doing also a good job. They have a long tradition. But very important to say also that it's compared in relative terms to the Southwest territories. It really is quite small. No? So there is
it's
no
very major small, right?
Yes, it's relatively very small. So there is no any major impact. With all respect, I'm not trying to minimize anything. Everything is important. And it's logical, and we will be interested anyways, but it's not our decision at this time, okay? So, and regarding the $100 million of injection, obviously will not come, no? But, for an operation of this size, you can imagine, it's nothing, that really can, really may represent any problem at all, no?
That's very clear. Thanks, Pancho. And if I may just... Very quickly, I wanted to ask secondly on Ecuador. I don't know if you can give us any color on your latest thoughts, I guess. What's your guess at this stage of how long will the adjustment process last in terms of volume declines because of the excise tax implementation? And if you can share just a couple of figures or any color you can add on how much returnables have increased or any other affordability initiatives you have implemented in the market to mitigate this volume impact, and I don't know if you can mention specifically how much sugar-free products have increased in the portfolio. That will also be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. So First of all, we have also the operation of dairy, which, by the way, is now moving better, and that's very important. We have another businesses there. I mean, the economy is not doing so well, as you know, because of the oil and the issue of competitive dollar, because they have as a currency the dollar, the real dollars. So all this, and the earthquake, so it's really, and the prices of, I mean, this impact of the taxes and so on. So for all kinds of issues, it's not easy, but we are doing quite well compared with the other categories as well as within our category, winning share and so on. However, to be more specific, Arturo, I will ask if you can add something specific on the market.
Yes, sure, Antonio. Well, several factors, of course, you know, are adverse to our situation in Ecuador. Obviously, the consumption continues to deteriorate. You know, the prevailing oil prices and declining exports, the lack of the monetary policy, and adding to that is the earthquake that we had last April. So this is these are tough conditions for us, and especially with the imposition of the tax that, you know, made us raise prices by almost 20%. So the elasticity affects two ways, by the obviously the price increases, but also by the slowdown in the economy, which is, you know, very notorious for everyone in the market. So what we're doing is taking advantage of the lessons that we learned from the excise tax that was imposed in Mexico 3 years back, our revenue management capabilities, the possibility of having a flexible price pack architecture with returnables and affordability. We already implemented new route to market models, which will reduce the cost to serve, but at the same time be close to some of the smaller customers. One of the most important initiatives is we have innovated our portfolio and reformulated some of our products to offer low-calorie or even zero-calorie options for our consumers. The mix of Coke Zero in Ecuador has increased significantly. It's twice the mix of colas that it had before. And as you know, this is a very bold move in terms of Coke Zero. We expect to close the year still with obviously volume decrease of a single digit, but we expect also to come out strengthened from the situation, balancing obviously the short-term actions that we need to implement in terms of, you know, savings and especially reformulation of products, and also the long-term investments that we continue to make in quarters to assure that we again come out strengthened from the situation. But it's very hard to predict how this is going to evolve in the future. We expect certainly a better second half of 2017, not only because we have easier comps, but we also expect the situation to start to turn around by then.
Thank you.
All right. That's very clear. Thank you, Pancho and Arturo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Martha Shelton with ITAL.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. Very quickly on the minority stakes that you're buying out in Ecuador and Argentina, if you could just give me a quick update on where you are with that and when we would expect to see that 88 million share issuance. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Martha. I will ask really my friend Emilio to tell you what is the status on this process. Please.
Yeah, thank you, Martha, for your question. We're in the process to take all 100% of Ecuador and Argentina, and we expect to end that process by the end of February next year. We're going to do part this year, the Ecuadorian part, and the Argentina operation will do it the first 2 months of next year.
Right. So we are moving very well on that regard, and this will give us obviously a more, let's say, efficient process there because of operating those countries or the territory that we have in those countries and savings and efficiencies in general. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Or you gain share, and if weather had an important component there. And the outlook for the next quarter and next year seems like you'll have to take pricing above inflation again, be it for COGS or concentrate. The consumer seems not to be fully there for that. So how should we think that you will balance market share volumes with margins in Mexico or North America next year? Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. Please, Arturo, mention these market conditions.
Yes. Well, as we've said, the performance in Mexico has been great so far. We're having a truly historic year. And we have to say that, you know, this is a very good quality growth, I would say. Every channel in Mexico has grown at more than 9% so far this year, and all categories are growing. So as I said, we're capitalizing on the benefits of implementing our operational models. All the operating variables and metrics are improving, you know, from quality to out of stocks to all the fundamentals that we measure in the market. So I think, you know, weather cannot explain, you know, this kind of variation in volume, although, you know, weather has been fairly stable. And again, we haven't been able to increase prices. So as we go forward, even though we don't have the indicators of slowdown, we are being conservative, of course, and the comps are going to be different as we go along. But we still expect to increase prices, at least with inflation or even above inflation, and we expect to continue growing the market because we continue to find opportunities in our internal operational metrics of things that we can do better across the region. So we've grown share. That's the other part that we need to highlight. We've grown share of the market. But to your question about share, what we focus on more and more is not about volume share, but about the value share in the market.
And transactions.
And transactions, and the share of transactions. Both of those have also been growing this year. So we've grown single serve, and this year multi-serve has been growing faster, but because it's where we have the biggest opportunity to recover the share of the market. But we'll be focusing on value share and obviously on the share of the profits of the industry. And we expect to continue to grow that because of the opportunities we've identified, as I mentioned. But certainly, you know, this kind of growth, it's very hard to sustain on a long-term basis.
And, you know, really with the techniques or the best practices that we have developed here is something that we feel... I mean, we don't want to sound arrogant at all, but those are working pretty well. So, and obviously the brand love and everything that we have on the branding, which is very important, but the execution is really doing quite well. I mean, and technology like dynamic segmentation, it's, I don't know if any time eventually we should talk more in detail about what kind of viewing things we are applying in the market, which really makes a great difference to really expand, not only keep growing, but expand also the categories and make the things happen there. I mean, it's challenging, but we are moving into reinventing ourselves, even we are in good shape. No? That's very important to take advantage of the position that we have to reinvent ourselves. So eventually we will talk more about this. Thank you.
Well, very good. Thank you for the answer. And last on Mexico, regarding concentrate increase agreement, are you planning on releasing some sort of more detailed explanation of what it is? It's very good that you get 10-year visibility and then renewable, but are you going to be able to share it with us as well?
Well, I mean, those things are confidential, but I can tell you that we feel really pretty comfortable with the arrangement that we have done with the Coca-Cola company and give us the right process to gradually adjust things so we can absorb that through RGM, through mix, through volume, through many other productivity measures. It will not be a huge impact, of course, but we will manage that. And more importantly, we have a long, very long-term visibility. So we feel that gives us the let's say, enhance our position to continue investing heavily in the market and growing profitable and sustainable, and to dedicate our efforts to keep the consolidation. And certainly Peru is just, we are going to have only 1 year with that huge operation, with many opportunities there. And now with a new opportunity in probably the most important or the second most important franchise in the U.S. So that keep our focus on what we need is to create value and obviously for the benefit of both companies, themselves and ourselves. So we feel very, very comfortable with that direction.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alicia Apostolato with HSBC.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everyone. So you mentioned in the press release that your new agreement with the Coca-Cola company, quote-unquote, provides you with long-term security. Can you please explain what you mean by this and what this new contract includes that was not included in your previous agreements with Coke? That's it. Thank you.
Hey, how are you, Alicia? I hope to meet you soon. So it's a great question, and I appreciate that. I mean, we have confidentiality. What I can tell you is that basically it's an agreement on concentrate, and it gives us the security or the, let's say, the visibility, as I mentioned, on the future. So we have the rules clearly established. No? You know that it's in the past. I mean, and I think in general, normally, it could be possible in those contracts to adjust at any time. Now, we have a very clear picture how to manage that together with Coca-Cola. And that's what is important, because it gives us the frame to move for the future in the right manner. But you may understand that it's confidential and we need to keep it in that way. Well, as long as you trust in what we are doing and leading this company, many years, I hope that you feel comfortable.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Elizabeth Corona with Multiva. Ms. Corona, your line is open.
Yes. Elizabeth?
Please make sure your phone is on.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations for the results. I would like to ask do you think that Mexican Congress will approve the increase in debt for high in sugar content beverage?
Oh, thank you. Good question, Elizabeth. Thank you for your congratulations. I appreciate this teamwork and your support also. Talking about this, let's say, excise tax, you know, it has been announced by all levels in the government, including the president. No? The agreement that has been in place since several years of certainty that there will be no new taxes or change in taxes, not to reduce, not to increase. So that has been the rule. And it's been very good, and we congratulate really to have this kind of let's say, vision, because in the past it was different. You remember every year changing everything. So we are fortunate that this agreement is in place. But apart from that, you may be aware that the Congress, you know, there are two chambers, no? Congress and the Senate. Up to now, I mean, the leaders in the Ministry of, the leaders in the, let's say, in the Congress regarding the budget analysis and all these things related to this, they have indicated that there is no any additional tax. Still, there is a process in place. We need to respect that. We cannot assure anything in that regard. But up to now, with all what we have seen and all what we have done to clarify that taxes are not really the solution. The real solution requires an integral point of view and really leverage our soft drinks only contributes with 5 or 6% to the caloric intake. So you may understand that that is not the solution. The solution real is to look for an integral view, and that means I mentioned in my introduction also Movisa, which is the Movimiento por una Vida Saludable, in which we are not only companies of beverages or food sector, but our banks, universities, communication companies, media, gyms, restaurants, everywhere. And we try to put more people there to really find avenues in different pillars of education, activation, reformulation. It's a matter of habits that we need to really try to change to really have an impact, but not in 1 year. It will take years. That is the real solution we need to find. But going back to your question, we are doing many things, but most importantly is that we have this clear picture from the president and from every level of the authorities that they want to keep the agreement in place that they had done some years ago on this certainty future that there will be no more taxes and no movement in the current taxes, not up, not down. And I think it's up to now very well respected, and we appreciate that. And the Congress has not at this time announced anything different. On the contrary, they have mentioned that there will be no movement in that regard up to now. Still, the process is in place, and we need to respect them, and we cannot assure. But the probability of a change in taxes up to now is low.
Okay, so thanks for asking that question, and I have another one. If the Mexican Congress approves this increase, do you have any plan to contain the effect?
Well, I think it's too early to be talking about that, and as long as we see a low probability in that regard, we prefer to put our efforts at this time and to look for an integrated solutions and to work in a more proactive way in the market, you know? So that's my answer, I would say. But we always can talk about it in the future, but for the time being, I don't think it's likely to have that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernando Olvera with Bank of America.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. The question I have is related to the margin expansion that you register in South America. I don't know if you can comment about the margin performance, specifically in Ecuador and Peru, considering that Argentina expanded margins around 90 basis points.
Yes. So, you want just to repeat the question, you want to have some information regarding why we increased the margins?
Yes, I imagine that the expansion, I imagine that it comes from Argentina, but I was wondering if you can comment about the margin performance also in Ecuador and Peru, just to have an idea if there was some pressure there, or can you give us a little bit more color?
Yes, well, I want to mention that Arturo already indicated the efficiencies we are getting in Peru, for instance, and that's really, we've been increasing a lot the margin in Peru, as one important aspect you may know. No? The other thing is that also in Argentina, through cost reduction and other actions that we have been taking in prices, because we've been reflecting the raw material increases and even more. And the combination of the prices and as well as the reductions in costs that we have in Argentina definitely helped us a lot to increase also margin there. The one that I more stable or a little bit less is Ecuador, no? But in general, Peru expansion in margins plus Argentina expansion in margins really compensates any small reductions that we have had in Peru. So,
in Ecuador.
So the increase in Peru, so it's really a combination of that. But what I can tell you is that we are working hard to, even in such volume reductions in some countries like Ecuador, so to compensate it with the right price structure for a formulation or even a cost reduction in other aspects. Thank you.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Maria Aramani with Santander.
Hi, hello. Thank you very much for the call and congratulations for the results. Can you please give us more information about your agreement with San Miguel Industrias PET, the one that you announced early? I would like to understand, the agreement, it's regarding volumes, the time frame, the country coverage, and how it will it's expected to impact or benefit margins in the midterm.
Oh, thank you, Maria, and also thanks for your comments to us. I appreciate a lot. Congratulations. And just going back to your question, as I mentioned, we are working hard in many synergies and many opportunities. Obviously, some of them on the top line of the market, Peru, but other ones related to costs. And we mentioned this very specific because it's important in terms of the amount, and also in terms of the relationship with the team of San Miguel Industrias, who are great people. And so we wanted to really indicate that. Can I ask Arturo to mention a little bit, give a more flavor?
Sure, Maria. This is a long-term agreement, a multi-year agreement with San Miguel. We invited other potential suppliers to present the proposals, and we decided to reach an agreement with San Miguel Industrial. Basically, this is truly a partnership. It is similar to what we have in Mexico for the supplier of PET packages. And it includes, I would say, three basic areas. One is the supply of preform. The other is lightweighting of bottles, which all requires certainly collaboration. And as I mentioned, technology from our supplier. And the blowing of bottles. Sometimes it's in line. Sometimes it's in their own facility. So it is a combination of projects within one single agreement. And also, it's important to mention that this includes not only the operations in Peru, but also of Ecuador. San Miguel was already a supplier in both countries. We are consolidating the volume in one single supplier, taking advantage of the scale, having a multi-year contract. And this is one of the largest synergy initiatives that we had for the Peru operation. And the best news about this is that, the benefits are only starting to be reflected in our results so far.
At the end, what we are trying to say is that there are challenges like the sugar or things like that or volumes, but we are a company alive now, that we are always looking for opportunities, and we are trying to give you just a flavor that there are plenty of things to come that we can really use to really keep our creation of value. No? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to turn the call over to Francisco Garza Egua for closing remarks.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for your participation in this conference call and for always supporting our company, as well as for your trust in us. We really look forward to speaking with you again soon, and certainly to keep in contact through our investment relationship team or directly to us. We are always open to keep this dialogue. Thanks a lot, and have a very good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.